I'm glad to be here tonight. I appreciate my brethren that work with us. That wouldn't be possible. There'd be no way possible for me to have these tent meetings or crusades across the nation, or even the ones that we have in the foreign countries, if it wasn't for my brethren. I have some brethren that work with me real good. They're very courteous and kind, and they help me with the ministry. We trust the Lord for our help and our finance, and God sends it from around the world. It might seem odd to you. We don't expect anything from people that are poor and off in the islands, but nevertheless, they contribute. From our Caribbean Beacon Station, it reaches through almost all of the islands and down in South America and around wherever. They actually send offerings to this ministry. They love this ministry, and they send offerings to it. People from across the nation, they love this ministry, and they consider themselves to be just as much a part of it as our immediate workers there on the home front, and they really are. Some of them fast and pray. I got in trouble one time. I was coming out of Jamaica. And I had preached there at a church. It was a very big church. It was so big until, when the people come, they just let the sides of it up. There's so many people that come, they just let the sides of it up. It's a huge thing. And we preached for them a few nights, and then I wanted to come back into the States because I felt like I needed to come back. I had some things I wanted to take care of. And God really got me. I didn't try to contact the Lord much. I just kind of took it for granted that everything was all right. I'd ministered to him, and we'd been on a long tour, I believe at that time, down in South America and all around through. Well, it'd been a long, long trip. I can't remember just where, but over into Puerto Rico and different places and Grand Cayman. And I was kind of tired, and I was wanting to get back home. But I found out that those people, that huge congregation, had been fasting and praying for me to stay. And I just about got myself in trouble. It really pays to pray and to acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways that He might direct your path. God has been real good to us as we've traveled around the different parts of the world. And those people love the Lord. A lot of people over there love the Lord. In India, I have just, when we wasn't ministering, just be there at the big place where they had for us to stay. Had a huge living room upstairs. And I have been there, and it'd be so many people, young boys and girls, that would flood that place until practically all day before my meeting that night. I would be talking to them and ministering to them. And you would be surprised how much that those people love the Lord. And those young people are so intelligent. You would think that they were ignorant and our people over here were intelligent. Whereas that's the general thought, you know. But those people are so exceedingly intelligent until it is unbelievable. And you wouldn't think that they'd know anything about Revelation. But you can start talking about Revelation and they just swallow it up just like a hungry child. I mean, they pick it up. When some of the people in America don't pick it up, they pick it up. If you see me rubbing my ankle, you can guess what it is. I haven't got a mosquito bite, I don't think, but it's itching just a little bit. It makes you feel like that, you know. Glad to have you here with us tonight. I see Jerry over here tonight. He slipped in. Glad to have you, Jerry. Jerry's on the road most of the time. He lives way down in Mississippi. And Jerry's one of our workers, too. He loves the Lord. He came into this ministry by a radio ministry. Jerry heard us on the radio, and he got into this ministry, and he just loves this ministry. I tell you, he's getting into Revelation, too. He's getting a lot of other people stirred up in his area. We have people with us that came in through our radio ministry, and we have people that came in through our television ministry. We have some people that saw us on TV and came in through our television ministry. But the thing is, we have people, and that's the main thing, people that love Jesus. All kind of people. We've got Assembly of God people. We've got Church of Christ people. We've got Church of God people. We've got Catholic people. And I tell you, just about whatever you name, well, we got them. We got Church of God. We got Congregational Holiness. We got all kind of folk. We've had all kind of people converted to our ministry and to the Word of the Lord. And they love it. They love this ministry. They love this way of life. There's some men sitting right here on the platform that love this ministry, that loves God's way of life, and that have worked with us in many ways. Brother Ron here has been responsible for contributions up into many thousands of dollars toward this ministry. And there's others that are sitting here tonight. I was speaking of a brother today. He was in the men's meeting, there, the minister's meeting, and he has in the last few weeks, so far as I know, contributed as much as $30,000 to it in just the last little bit. Another brother that was over there, that the way that he contributes, if he continues, he'll run a lot of money out of a year's time, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, a lot of money just in a year's time of contribution to the ministry. But it takes a lot of money. How many of you know that it takes a lot of money? We don't bother people about the money because we believe God and He meets our needs. But it takes a lot of money to be able to operate. They brought in some papers last night of another meeting that they've already got set. The meeting should have run us about, I don't know how much. I saw at least $5,000 or more on the paper there where it said it should have run, and they got kind of a ballpark figure out of it and got it down some, and there's still a lot more to do. We still haven't set the tent as of yet and haven't rolled the tractors in that direction. And besides that, besides the thousands and tens of thousands of dollars that it takes to operate just the tent and whatever, it also takes a lot of money, whereas we have many brethren that walk with us by faith, and they just trust God, and God works miracle after miracle for them. Because to supply their needs alone, the Lord has to supply a lot of money just for them. And they just take it by faith and go on. And it's so wonderful that the Lord will do this for us. I know you might not be familiar with canvas, but this is, as I said the other night, it's the two ends of a five-pole tent of about 220 by 140. This right here is just the two ends of it, and it is just within this area. It doesn't look like it, but it takes a lot of folks to fill this place up. This is over 15,000 square feet just under here. And you go to buy tents like that now, you're talking about $40,000, $50,000 or more just to get your canvas. Then you've got all the accessories and additives that go with it. And it takes a lot of faith in God to keep moving, a lot of faith. But you know what? God has never failed us. And moving with the tent, though it takes a lot of money, yet that's a fraction of what we have to operate. Because we have to have paper for printing. We have to have all kind of sound equipment at home. We've got a church back there also that the people attend. And there's many multiplied things there that we are trying to do, and numbers of them cost tens of thousands of dollars. So that means that we have to have hundreds of thousands of dollars to keep operating, which is really a minimum. It might kind of scare some of you, or it might make you feel like, well, that's a lot of money, you know. And it is a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money compared to what some of them have to have. I noticed a little article the other day on the Lutheran Hour, and I believe they have to have at least $14 million a month to keep their broadcast going. I believe it's $14 million. I don't know whether I've got it right or not. I want to say $14 million a day. I thought I looked at it at $14 million a day. But I'm kind of afraid of that, so I'll just say $14 million a month. But it seems like it was $14 million a day or something like that that they have to have. I don't remember how much. So you can see that we're economizing. And we're getting along real good. God blesses us, and all that we set our hand unto, He promised to do that, and He does do that. I want you to read just a little bit with me tonight. From over in the book of Genesis, Last night we had a real good audience. People were very receptive. They listened real well. And tonight I feel a real good spirit. We had a good time today at the ministers' conference. The brethren just, it was so beautiful. The harmony of the spirit. And they all just got right in there together, loving the Lord. And they was not contrary. They tried their best to be just as congenial with one another as they could be and tried to show a real fellowship. Now I see it looks like a number of them are not here tonight. That was over there. I do see Larry back there. My wife was asking about him and his wife today. And I see that Brother Larry Bullard is back there with us from around Polk, Mississippi. He wasn't at the convention today, but I see he's here. I want to say again that I appreciate you being here. May God bless you. May God help you. And I thank the Lord for having them back there on the PA system the way they are. Last night, we was having some trouble up here, and I couldn't get enough volume. It just something was wrong. My wife, she said I had a plenty, but it didn't seem to me like I had enough. And I don't have anything to monitor back here with, Bill, he persuaded me that that was my problem. I couldn't tell. They've always got a way out. But anyway, it's doing real good tonight, Bill, in spite of the monitoring. We still got it going good, so y'all done something to it. This little mic, as I've said so many times, it's supposed to be the best you can get. I know that, speaking of expense, you may not understand, but this little mic, not this mic here, but without this mic, just a little bitty mic that we don't use, that thing costs $3,000 or better just for the mic. And it's considered the very best. It's the kind that's used in the movies when they want to make a movie back over on the hillside somewhere. Somebody's talking, they use this type mic. So it's the best that you can get. And we really appreciate it. If you've never done any preaching and you don't know how to appreciate a good mic, I've used all kinds. And it just tears you up, you know, when you don't have the right kind of sound system. So our men are real efficient. They do a terrific job when it comes to the sound system. And I just want to take a few minutes to say that I appreciate it. I wholeheartedly appreciate it. I appreciate you being here. I want to read some from the book of Genesis. My heart is literally filled with the revelation of the Son of God. I'm not exaggerating, as I told them today. I mean, it is literally filled and overflowing. There was a time in my life when I didn't know anything about revelation. I was a preacher. I fasted. I prayed. I cried. I went before God. I'd done everything that I know to do. I preached across the nation. I preached up and down the coast of California from Hollywood down to Anaheim. And we preached across Florida and different places all across the nation, Canada and Mexico. But one day I came to something that's called the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the Lord told me that He wanted to give me something. I had tried to prove faithful. I didn't know too much about how to really be faithful, but I had tried to be faithful, and I asked the Lord to help me and to bless me, and He filled my heart with the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now you that don't understand or don't know the revelation of Jesus Christ, as far as you're concerned, you belong to a church, you've got a doctrine, you've got a religion, everything's all right with you, you've read the Bible, and maybe all the way through. But I want you to know that even though you might have read every word in the Bible, that does not have anything to do with the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ is something that is revealed from heaven. It is a spiritual thing that is revealed from heaven. And it uses the Word of God as a footing and a foundation. I said last night, anything that I could not find in the Word of God, then if I could not find it in the Word of God, then it was something that was not the right thing. If you receive a revelation or anything else, and if it isn't founded upon the Word of God, then you've got a hold of some heresy. You've got a hold of some false doctrine somewhere, because if you get the real true revelation of the Lord Jesus, this will be the foundation that it'll fall on. It won't deviate one iota. It'll be perfectly founded upon the Word of God. And the much revelation that I've received through the years, hundreds and thousands of things from God, founds themselves perfectly. And I say again to you that when I say hundreds or thousands of things, you know, a person would automatically say, "Oh, Brother Pike, You've got to be exaggerating. So help me, God. It's hundreds and thousands of things, of secret things, of those mysteries of God that's been revealed to me, that's in my heart. And not only that, if you're in doubt of it, there are, I guess there's over 1,000 tapes at home that they've got there of just the messages that they've been able to catch at different times. Well, there's many hundreds and hundreds of tapes or messages that they did not get. They've got 1,000 or maybe a few thousand. I don't know how many they got there. And they're filled with the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. At different intervals in those messages, you'll find many of these things. And with all of that, my heart is still filled up and overflowing. And they have nothing like received all that God has put in my heart as the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like I told my wife, I said, Betty, there's a good possibility, so far as I know, that many, many multiplied things, maybe hundreds of things that God has given me, that I'll never get to give to anybody or to the church. But at the same time, we have shared, whereas we have things on that many tapes, whatever it might be, we have shared hundreds and multiplied hundreds of revelations with different brethren in different groups, talking for hours, day after day and year after year, that is not recorded on those tapes. So you can see by that whereas people as a whole, denominational people especially, good people, people that love God, people that are in the assemblies of God, people that are in the church of God, people that are in the church of Christ, Baptists, Methodists, many other branches of operations, religious operations. Those people, many of them, they have become complacent. They have taken ball games and sports and the things of the flesh. And they have tried to replace the things of God. They have used those things instead of going after God, feeling that they had repented of their sins, that they had received the infilling of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and feeling that everything was just fine. They did that and left off with following Christ. And they left off with seeking God. And when they left off with that, they cut themselves off from this wonderful world of the great mysteries of God. You know, I know a lot of people say, oh, Brother Pike, there's no mystery to the Bible. It's just a simple little thing. A child could understand it. Anybody could understand it. Don't make it mysterious. But yet the overseer of our church, that is Paul the Apostle, the overseer of the Gentile church said, great is the mystery of godliness. And said, I am a steward of those mysteries. And he said, you pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. You pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. He said, for I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. He said, but seeing that you're babes in Christ, you'll just have to take the milk of the word and grow thereby. So many of them people today, I know for sure, I have conference with them, I preach to them. Many of them, and when I say many of them, I'm not speaking just concerning the laity. I'm speaking concerning their top ministers and overseers. I find that many of them are nothing but little babes. They're overseers. The Bible said, because you would not have the love for the truth, you would not go on to be with God in these things. He said, I will make children to be thine oppressors and women to rule over thee. Which spiritually speaking means that you'll come under the control of the flesh, the feminine part, in that the spirit is masculine. And we're just speaking a little spiritual here. See, children are thine oppressors. Now you think it over. Today, who's your oppressors? Your teenagers are driving you out of your mind. Your children are driving you crazy. Isn't that right? The whole world is being driven wild by their children. And they can't control their children. Now, and everybody blames the children. Everybody says that bad bunch of children, this old sinful, adulterous generation, which is true, that's what it is. Jesus said that's what it'll be, and that's what it is. They've lost all their virtues. But we say that old bunch of mean, haughty, bunch of devils, them teenagers. But the Bible said the problem is that the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are on edges. And he said that because you do not love the truth, I will give children to be thine oppressors, and I will cause women to rule over thee. There's never been a day when women hath ruled the way they rule right now. Women are in rule. It doesn't matter what you say about it, women are in rule. I ain't getting much amen out of that. I might have to go down another trail here. All right. I've got some good women folk. Paul spoke of his great women workers. There's some great women in God. And they will say amen to it because they believe the Bible. You know, let me clarify something here. I'm not one of those preachers that believes that marriage is 50-50 and she 50% does what she wants to and you 50% do the other part. You know, and she kind of infringes on your rights sometimes, and she takes about a 10% to be the controlling interest. Now, I'm not a person that believes that a woman is a garbage can either. You know, to where the man is some kind of lord, and he just lords over the woman, and he tells her to shut up, and he treats her like some old rag doll. Or, you know, he says, shut up, I'm boss, you're in the transgression, and you sin, and you're supposed to be on. I don't believe in that kind of foolishness. Somebody said, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. I said, I don't believe in that kind of foolishness. Someone said, that's Bible, Brother Pike. I said, I don't believe in that kind of foolishness. You can be sure if it was Bible, I wouldn't call it foolishness. So then God did not raise up a man so that he would lord over a woman. The one thing that God hates is a Nicolaitan spirit. He doesn't like that. Whether it's out of the ministry to lord over his people or out of a man to lord over a woman. He doesn't like that. He doesn't like that out there with the judges to lord over the people in the courtrooms. God despises that. God himself came down in a human body in a meek way, got down on his knees and washed a man's feet to show him humility and to bring himself down to the level of humanity so that we could all be a sovereignty. See, so God has not made a woman in fear. Somebody said, well, the Bible said, and the woman was in the transgression, and the man was not in the transgression, and the man should rule over the wife. That's exactly right. And I believe that. I believe that. But I also believe that as there came a curse, there came a deliverance. As there came a curse, there came salvation. And when Calvary came, it took the woman out from under the curse, just like it took the man out from under the curse. It took them both out from under the curse. If the woman isn't out from under the curse, then the man isn't out from under the curse. So then the woman is to be loved as Christ loved the church. And you don't find Christ trying to lord over the church, though he is lord of the church. And though the man is lord of the home, he shouldn't try to lord over the wife. You don't find Christ trying to abuse the church. The Bible said that a man should love his wife as Christ loved the church, even nourish the wife, even as he did his own body. So then, this thing is a wonderful thing. It's an instigation of Christ in the church. And the woman should submit herself to the husband for the sake of Christ, as of the church being submitted to that which is the leadership of the house. And the man should love the woman in such a way that he would love her as his own body, to never abuse it, because he doesn't abuse his own body. He pimpers and pampers his body. He feeds his body. He takes care of his body. He wants his body to find rest. So then this is the way that we should live together, and we should love our children the same way. I didn't mean to get off on that, but I thought I'd better clarify that because I done got out into a little deep water there. So I'd better clarify that. John, can you give me just a swallow of that water? All right, now, I want to read some from the book of Genesis. Genesis is a book. We have it because of Moses. I could really say some things there concerning the hind part. But we won't right now. Maybe we'll get into some of that on down the trail, but I'm not going to try to get into spiritual revelation because we have a lot of babes under the tent. I try not to get into spiritual revelation unless the Lord starts leading. Thank you. If I find the people begin to get hungry and get thirsty, and then the anointing comes, well, we get into spiritual revelation because we love to preach it. Otherwise, what we do, we try to preach the gospel to you, and we try to teach you the right way to live, get you to repent of your sins, pray for your sick body, and teach you the blessings of prosperity, the way that God would have you to be. Real thirsty tonight. How many of you would like to stand with me tonight to read this? Let's reverence the Lord's Word. Stand together tonight if you can. God spoke to Noah here in the book of Genesis. And he says here in the 6th chapter of the book of Genesis, in the 11th verse, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Now, I want you to think on that. You can be seated. It says here that all flesh had corrupted its way before God. How many of you tonight believe there's a God? Let me see your hand if you believe there's a God. How many of you are out here tonight because you believe there's a God? Did we come out here tonight so that we could be entertained? Did we come out here because we want to be a great evangelist? Is that why we set the tent here? Or because we are a certain follower of some ministry, and if it doesn't suit our fancy, well, we'll wait till our minister comes along. Is that why we're out here tonight? Or are we out here tonight because we have the fear of God? And there is a God that made heaven and earth, and God made you, and God made me, and God is making a move through the earth. God is making a move through the earth. Now don't get disturbed because one or two people go out. I never have a tent meeting. But what Satan don't have some to come and sit just long enough for the preacher to start. And when he starts, two or three will go out to discourage everything or to make everything look bad. Once in a while, it's because people have to. They have a problem. Otherwise, it's just the people that Satan has brought to cause problems and sow discord or something among the people to catch their attention. The others, they go outside of the tent and they stay outside of the tent and they won't stay under the tent and they just mess around outside and talk. And sad to say, a lot of times it's preachers that do that. And I find this everywhere I go. Those people are in bad shape. Spiritually, they're in bad shape. And those people that come in and out like that, they have some evangelists, some hopping, skipping, jumping, whatever, if it don't fit that, if it don't look like that, if it isn't going that way, well, they're not ready to hear the Word of God. They could care less about the Word of God. They're not interested in the Word of God. But see, we're here tonight because God is doing something. We're here because God has sent us here. You're here tonight because you're God's people. And you've come here tonight because God is wanting you to be here. And God has sent you here so that you can learn the Word of God, so that you can save your soul from hell. There's a real hell, a burning hell. The Bible said the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, and he said, I'm tormented by these flames. Don't try to speak it away. There's a real hell. There's a real hell. There's a burning lake of fire. See, and so then, you are here to try to learn about God. You're here because you want to know about God. You didn't come out here to shout and holler and jump and scream and have some kind of a hoodoo. You didn't come here for that if you're real children of God. See, you may shout, you may praise God, you may dance. You may run, you may scream out for God. You might do that. But the thing is, that's not why you came here. You came here to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, to try to find out what God is saying, to find out what God is doing. You say, Brother Pike, why would I want to find all of those things out? You want to find those things out because, as I read to you, the Bible said, this is as the days of Noah to me. All flesh has corrupted its way before God. The Bible said, and the earth was filled with violence, and all flesh had corrupted its way before God. Now that's where we're at tonight. The whole earth is filled with violence. The whole earth. I travel all over the different parts of the world, and the whole earth is filled with violence. Filled with violence. And all flesh has corrupted its way before God. All flesh has corrupted its way before God. The whole earth is filled with violence. It's not just some of the earth that's filled with violence.
The whole earth is filled with violence. I go into the foreign countries, and in the foreign countries I find violence. It's not safe to be on a plane anymore. It's not safe to be in any certain place anymore. Why? Because the earth is filled with violence. We are here to understand what this is all about. Why is our children on the rampage? The great philosophers, the great educators, they can't handle the children anymore. Even the police can't handle the children anymore. I talk to the police and they say, we can't handle them anymore, Brother Pike. See, so all the world is filled with violence. You've got to remember that God made man. And God is the one that can handle man. God is the one that made man. There's billions of people in the world today. 4 or 5 billion people in the world today. And when you've got 5 billion people that are multiplying, then that means you're going to have so many people till you're not going to have a place to put them. For if the 5 billion multiplies and you've got half that many again, and then that many multiplies and you've got half that many again, it's such a great thing. The more they multiply, the more in abundance that they fill the earth. And violence is filling the earth everywhere. Nobody can handle them. Man can't handle them. Police can't handle them. The educators can't handle them. I read an article here a long time back, and they said it is a proven fact. That was before it got in the condition it's in right now. They said it is a proven, profound fact that the world is going heathen faster than they can educate the people. And the sad part now is the educating operation is turning them into heathens faster than the ministry can give them a good understanding. The educational world today is absolutely wrecking the entire world. There's 3 great things in the world today that's destroying the people and destroying the morals. There's a lot of things that's doing it. But majorly the educational system. Another thing is the medical system. And another thing is the military system. Those 3 things are the major killers. They are destroying everything in the earth. They've destroyed the morals. They've done away with everything. They've taken all the decency of the earth away. Folks, medicine is good. Militant power is good if all those things are in their place. They're good. They're good. But when it gets to be a mixed up mess like they've got among the males and the females now, it is a mess. It is a reproach to God. The Bible teaches that righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. One time, America was a great, mighty nation, exalted. I mean a great nation that's exalted. And any country that you went into, when you told them that you was an American, they would automatically have great respect for you. But now you go into a foreign country, and you tell them that you are an American, they make a joke out of it and laugh. And it's a sad thing. I've had to rise up numbers of times in the foreign fields to stop the mouth of some people. I was on a plane not too long ago over in the foreign fields. I picked up the newspaper. And when I read the newspaper, there was an article. The thing there that was accusing our president of the United States and accusing our leaders here in the United States. And it was calling them murderers. And it had articles how that they cunningly had slipped around and murdered certain people. And it tore me up as I began to read it because I knew that was a lie. And then there at a great mission where I was at this great mansion, there's people that come from all over the world, reporters and whatever, sitting there at this table. The woman that was an outstanding person of renown that sat at the head of the table, she began to accuse the American people. And she began to talk about certain things. And I was sitting there at the table, and here all these people was from around the different parts of the world. Newspaper men, all kind of people. And her, a great person of renown. And I sat there, and I was talking a little bit. I listened, and she started that, and I listened, and I listened. And finally, I just spoke up, and I said, listen, lady. I said, the first thing that you need to know is what you're talking about. I said, you're talking about something you don't know nothing about. And I said, what you're saying is not true. I said, and all these people with their ears around here, they're getting it full. I said, and you're a person of renown. You're an outstanding person, a person of reputation. I said, and the things that you say is going to affect these people. And I said, you need to know what you're talking about. I said, when a person's a person of renown and they travel around like I do or like you do, I said, folks need to have the right things coming out of their lips. Amen. And folks, let me tell you something. If you're children of God tonight, you are a person of renown. If you are a child of God tonight, if you're a son of God tonight, then you need to know what you're talking about. You are the one that God said the government is upon your shoulders. You are the one that's establishing the kingdom of God in the earth. And you need to know what you're talking about. The ministers that get up on the platform, that hop and skip and turn loops and everything else and roll around in the floor, you know, that's their business. But when they get up here and they take the word of God and they start talking to people, they need to know what they're talking about. They don't need to just talk about something and run and holler and try to get a bunch of people running and jumping and screaming and hollering and not knowing anything about what's being said or what's being done. Folks, let me tell you something. Tonight, if the President of the United States was here, you wouldn't want to see him turn cartwheels. You wouldn't want to see him run and wallow in the shavings. You wouldn't want to see him run and shout. You'd want him to be sober in the things that he told you, and you'd want to know what he was talking about. If he started telling you something and then all of a sudden started screaming and hollering, running and jumping and never did finish it, and you half-heartedly knew what he was saying, you'd be upset about it. There's hardly a person under here, but under the tent tonight, but what they wouldn't want to vote him out of office. Somebody say amen. If that's true, how much more should the minister of God be sober and tell you the right things and let you know exactly what God is saying to you? Why should I know, Brother Pike? Because the Bible said, and all the earth was filled with violence. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And the Bible said, all flesh had corrupted its way before God. If they had known what Noah was trying to say, if they had believed in what Noah was trying to tell them, they could have escaped that horrible judgment of God. They could have escaped that flood. But see, they didn't know. They didn't care. Noah was a big joke to them. We come to church, and we don't come to church to listen to God. We don't come to church to hear the voice of God. The Bible said it shall not be the minister speaking, but God speaking from within him. And when we come to church, we don't come to church for that cause. Paul said, I say we to keep from saying you. So then we don't do that. We come to church for all kinds of purposes. We come to church for social benefits. We come to church to fellowship. We come to church to see what's going on. We come to church to gossip. We come to church to criticize. We come to church for everything but to listen to the word of God. You know, a lot of people, they come to the house of God and this is the way that they come. They'll go and they'll say, well, I want to see what he's going to say. And after they listen a little while, they say, well, I don't believe that. And the preacher preaches a little more, says, I don't believe that. And the preacher, he keeps on preaching, you know, and say, nah, they don't agree with what I believe. Let me ask you a question. Did you come here to hear God speak to you? Or did you come here to give the sacrifice of fools? The Bible said, be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. It said, when you enter into my courts, come with thanksgiving and come with praise. Don't come with your foolish opinion. Don't lean to your own understanding. Cast down your imagination in every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Learn to meditate in the laws of God. God isn't interested in your opinion or my opinion. God wants his word spoke. The Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. When a man comes to preach the gospel, you can tell whether he's of God or not because he'll speak God's word. He'll tell you about God's word. And he'll be sober about it. He'll tell you because he knows that he must stand in the judgment before God, and all of you are going to be standing there in the judgment with him. He knows that. So then, when we come to church, don't be a fool. Like those that's running up and down the highways, you can hear them hollering now. Young boys and girls on dope, they don't know what they're doing. See, they're going like a fool up and down the road. And the Bible said you can warn a fool, but he'll go right straight to the dart, and the dart will strike through the liver. But you can warn a wise man, and he'll be wiser. Why are we here tonight? The Bible said, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. All of the earth was in violence, and all of the people had corrupted themselves before God. All flesh had corrupted its way before God. Folks, we're living in a time when all flesh has corrupted its way before God. I'm talking about the ministry has done it. The churches have done it. Did you know that there's hardly a church in the world today but what it hasn't corrupted its way before God? You name any church that you want to name, including the Pentecostal churches, and I'll show you a church that'll go down to the beach and strip off and run up and down the beach in bathing suits. Or I'll show you people that'll wind up at the hospital up yonder and they'll strip them off right there. Just like I saw them do the other day. Tore me up as I looked. I had to turn my head, try to get out of there, do something. When the woman came in and undressed the young man there, and I thought of all the dirty, low-down, filthy, sloppy mess. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, that's a doctor. What gives any man the right to disrobe your wife and stand her out there as a prostitute because he's got a piece of paper that some bald-headed professor gave him? What gives him the right to do that? You said, that's the way it's supposed to be, Brother Pike. It wasn't that way in the beginning, Jesus said. And it wasn't that way in the beginning. Even in the Old Testament, they had midwives. Why can't the females go to the females and the males go to the males? Why didn't they send an orderly in there? Why did they send a young woman in there to a young man? Let me tell you something, folks. If that's right, then I need to lay down the mic and quit preaching. If those things are right, if the church can go up and down the beach and strip off the way that they're doing, if they can go in the hospitals and mix and mingle the way that they're doing under the name of medicine, then that means I need to quit preaching. And you need to quit going to church because it's a little game and it's all a bunch of foolishness. Are you listening to me, folks? Did you know that it is just a common thing for the Pentecostal women to run around in shorts? Come on, folks. I said it's a common thing for them to run around in shorts. Do you think that's right? No, that isn't right. What does God mean the world has corrupted its way? If that isn't corruption, if that isn't what God's talking about, then you tell me as one to a preacher, what is God talking about? All of the earth has done it. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, it ain't that bad. It don't bother me. I know it doesn't bother you because you've seared your conscience with a hot iron. You've got past feeling and you can do anything anymore. You can watch anything on TV, virtuous and non-virtuous. You can dress any way you want to. You can do any way you want to. But folks, let me tell you something. Just because you do it, God hasn't changed His mind. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He's still the same today. He still requires the same things today. He's still looking for the same things today. And you and I are going to have to walk accordingly if we walk with God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So then as it was in the days of Noah, so it is at the coming of the Son of Man. The earth was filled with violence. Folks, violence is getting worse and worse. Did you know that? It's getting worse and worse. It's getting to where a woman can't hardly walk out on the street and almost to where a man can't hardly walk out on the street. And it's getting to where the police, they're afraid to try to do anything about it. And the bad part is that the police are getting bad. Are you listening to me tonight? I had a little confrontation with a bunch of police. I talked to them. They had taken some boys into custody. I'm always running into that problem. Sometimes my boys, a lot of boys, I'm always running into the judge, running into the sheriff, running into the police. Always something going as it was in the early church. Closing in more and more, trying to make a Jim Jones thing out of God's people. That was when God tore Babylon down, was when they messed with His vessels. God's about to tear the world down. Did you know that? Ever since they started to oppressing God's people, God began to get angry. And God's just about ready to tear this world down. He said, I'll shake this world till the great skyscrapers crumble to the ground. All of the great cities. John said, and I saw the cities of the nation crumble to the ground. Earthquakes everywhere. Everywhere there's earthquakes. Said they'd increased in the last days. The pestilence would increase. The violence would increase. Well, anyway, I was having a little confrontation with the police. While I was talking with them, they were really laying it down about the youth. I admit the youth has given them plenty of trouble. The parents haven't eaten sour grapes. The children's teeth are on edges. I mean, they was really laying it down. And I listened till I took all I wanted to take of it. And when they got through, I said, "Gentlemen," I said, "are you through? Have you finished?" They said, "Yes, we've finished." I said, "Well, now I've listened to you very patiently." I said, "And now I want you to listen to me." And I started. And it ain't good for a preacher to get started sometimes, you know. Not if you're on the other end of it. So then I said, "Now let me tell you something." They had called the parents all kinds of things, and they'd said all kinds of things, and how the parents wouldn't do this, and how the parents was guilty of this, and the parents was such and such and such, and they knowed how to handle children. They had places that they could put them in and whatever. I said, "You know what you do? I said, you ride up and down the road. I said, and you protect the whiskey, and you protect the beer, and you protect the drinks. I said, and you carry the badge, and you carry the gun. I said, and you protect this dirty, filthy mess." I brought it out in my own words. If you'll excuse, pardon my expression. I'm kind of countryfied anyway. Rude in speech, Paul said, not in knowledge. I said, and you protect it. I said, and you put it out there before these children and before these teenagers. I said, and when you do that, I said, then they are prone to go to that. And then when they get that, you pounce on them. I said, and then you want to take them into custody. Bleed the people to death in court. That's the way they do it. Take every dollar they can get out of mom and daddy. I said, and you're the ones that do it, and you're the ones that are guilty. I said, and then you turn around and try to make it look like the parents are doing it, and that the parents are guilty. And I'll tell you what, they didn't like that at all. They didn't like that at all. Folks, not too long ago, I was in a courtroom, and the judge started. I told him, I said, "Judge," I said, "I'm sitting here in your courtroom." He didn't like that. "You know, you ain't supposed to speak. You ain't supposed to do nothing." I said, "But while you're judging, Judge," I said, "I'm judging too." I said, "You know why that I'm doing it?" I said, "'Cause I'm a judge, Judge." Oh, he said, "But you're not a judge like I am." I said, "Yes, sir, far above that." And he didn't like that. He didn't like that. I said, "Judge, someday I'll meet you at the great white throne judgment." I said, "And my judgment will stand, Judge." And he was all shook up. I mean, he got all shook up. You know, we've had it out with the police. We've had it out with the judges. We've had it out with the sheriff. It has been since this tent set here in this place. Since the last time, I believe, I'm not sure. We was over in Indiana. And there we went to set this tent. And I told some of the brethren, I said, "Look," I said, "we're going to have problems." I said, "Are you sure you got the lot secured?" They said, "We've got the lot secured." I said, "Are you sure of that?" They said, "We're sure of that." I said, "Did you get a permit?" "No, we didn't get a permit." They said, "But it's all right. Don't have to worry, Brother Pike. Everything's fine. We know that it is." I said, "Well, God tells me we're going to have problems." So then we slipped on by. When we got into Indiana, Jeffersonville, Indiana, some of you might be familiar with it. When we got into Indiana, I went to set the tent. Went out on the lot. There we was, ready to set the tent. Got ready, and here come the police. Always nosing into something. Here come the police. Won't do their job. Won't get out there and run down the killers and the drunkards, but a pounce on the teenagers. Get out there and bleed the parents to death, lay around like a bunch of snakes in the grass. I'm told them so to their face. Cowards that won't get out there and do their job. I don't mean that against all of them. There's some good ones out there. But anyway, here come the police. He says, I don't know whether he said Brother Pike, Reverend Pike, or Pike. I don't remember what he said. But he said, the tent. I said, "Yes, sir." I try to be as reverent as I know how. We're supposed to honor dignitaries. We're not supposed to be ugly and haughty. And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You won't be able to put your tent up today." I said, "Sir." He said, "You won't be able to put your tent up today." I said, "Well, I said, my, that's sure going to create a problem. I said, because we're already advertised to be up. On TV and radio and everywhere you know. And he said, well, you won't be able to do it. I said, what can I do? I said, I just have to suffer it out, you know, and pray the Lord will help me. I said, it'd create a problem. I said, but that's all I can do. I'll just have to do the best I can. I said, we'll just have to wait till tomorrow. And he said, Brother Pike, or whatever you call me, he said, you won't be able to do it tomorrow either. I said, well, my lands. I said, I really am in problems. I said, if I can't do it tomorrow, I said, I sure enough am in problems. I said, well, I must honor the law. I said, I'll just have to wait till the next day. He said, you won't be able to put it up at all. I said, what did you say? He said, you won't be able to put it up at all. I said, you mean to tell me that God told me to come to Indiana and come to Jeffersonville and set this tent, and I'm not going to be able to set this tent? I said, yes, sir. Glory to God. There's no need of you telling me nothing like that. I said, we come here to preach, and we're going to preach. And he went on his way. And just as I'd seen, there was trouble. They wouldn't give us a permit. Some of them rose up. The mayor rose up and wouldn't give us a permit. I sent for my permit. I asked for my permit. They wouldn't give me a permit. They've made it as hard as they can to keep tents and everything else out. And I know part of it's because of some fly-by-night that really don't spell nothing but trouble. But it made it real hard. And I said, now look. I said, I want to do what's right. And I said, I'm going to do what's right. I said, but the Bible teaches it's better to obey God than to obey man. And I said, I'm going to set this tent, permit or no permit. I said, God said set it, and I'm going to set it. And I told my men, I said, fellas, I said, we're going to give them to tomorrow. We're going to reverence and respect the law. I said, but if they don't bring that permit or release that permit tomorrow, I want this tent to go up. And folks, I got brethren that will do it if I say do it, and they done it. They set that tent. They went up with that tent and it upset everybody all around. Different people got upset, that is, that was involved in this situation. I mean, they really got upset about it. But we said it anyway. They didn't try to take it down, but they said, you're not going to get any lights. I said, I'm not worried about it. God sent me here to preach. He'll give me lights. And by some freak thing, I don't know how it happened. The others don't know how it happened, but a man came up. And he said, preacher, what about your lights? I said, I don't have any lights. I said, but the Lord will make the way. He said, why? It's no problem. I said, I'll get your lights on. He went out there and turned them on. He was a man that had to do with the operation now there in the city. He went out there and turned them on. And to their utter amazement, I had lights. And they rose up and they were mad. I mean, they were mad, folks. And I want you to know that God sent his people out. And those people began to get around that tent. And they said, we're going to have a meeting. Glory to God, we're going to have a meeting. And the mayor ain't going to stop us. And it wasn't long before the newspapers was out there. And it wasn't long before the TVs was out there. And it wasn't long before it was all over Indiana, all over Kentucky. And you could just turn your radio, your TV on. And across the TV all during the day, it says, mayor said no revival, but revival goes on. And glory to God, God filled up the tent and gave us a great move of God. And they were carrying it everywhere. And I want you to know the police backed off. And it wasn't long before they had that mirror just about nailed to the wall with the newspapers and the reporters and all the other things. God put them on my side. And I want you to know it wasn't long until that mayor sent me a little invitation out there, said, our Reverend Pike, he said, welcome to Indiana. And said, enjoy your stay in Indiana. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I never did get a permit, but we had a revival. Some man came over, one of the officials. He said, Brother Pye, you know, he said, this is really something, brother. I said, well, what is that? He said, there has not been a tent in this town since a man by the name of William Branham set a tent here. He said, the only tent I ever knew to be set in this city was set down by the Ohio River when a man by the name of William Branham set it. A storm, I believe, took the tent down. And he said, there's never been another one. He said, and he couldn't figure out how in the name of reasoning I ever set that tent there. But did you know what? That folded up the law and laid it away against tent. And do you know, it wasn't long before somebody else come in there. As a matter of fact, a brother down there at the Spoken Word, where Brother Branham's place was, and he set a tent up down there inside of the walls of their property. I said that to say this. What was the police doing fighting against God's people? Wasn't that what they did in the early church? Look around you, folks, see if I'm telling you right. The police of today, the authorities of today, the law of today, the government of today, what is it doing? Boycotting against God. Boycotting against God's people. They're not going after the world. They become a bunch of collectors. You can miss a bill. Some poor person miss a bill and they pounce out there on you. Got you in court. The Bible said in that day you'll be delivered up before the judges for a testimony against them. Before the law, before the people. I believe in obeying the law. I believe in honoring the law. I believe in honoring the president. I believe in honoring the government. As a matter of fact, we predicted things and spoke of things in Senate and have got letters from leading men in Senate or in the government, even President Reagan. We've got answers back. And they spoke to us and we've had fellowship by this way. Because they respected what we was doing. But there's a bunch of hoodooers in the world today. There's a bunch of so-called police. There's a bunch of so-called lawyers. Solomon said, I looked and in the place of judgment, there was corruption. All of the world has corrupted its way before God. The judges have corrupted their way. The police have corrupted their way. The preachers have corrupted their way. It's hard to believe, but preachers will get up here on the platform and walk up and down before you that's nothing but adulterers and fornicators. Lies and cheats and swindlers. And they'll take the offering and they'll press until they get all the offering they can and then go back and make a joke out of it. You say, I don't believe that, Brother Pike. I know it for truth. I know it for truth. They'll take your money and make a joke out of you. I've even been in the funeral parlors. Been back there where they were embalming the corpse. And the embalmer would be standing there with a girl that was curling the hair on the dead body and him and her. All mixed up, messed up. The dead body back there. Dirty, filthy, scummy. The Bible said all of my tables are filled with vomit, folks. Church pews. Hundreds and thousands and millions of people that sit on the pews with a regularity. That goes to church with a regularity. Some of them pay tithe. Vomit. Lukewarm. He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. The sow, after she's been washed, goes back to her wallowing in the mire. And the dog, after that he's been cleaned up, goes back to his vomit, to lap his vomit. Jesus called them swine. Cast your pearl before them. Tell them of holiness. Tell them of righteousness. Tell them of godliness. He said, and they'll trample these things under their feet and turn again and rend you. Come on, folks. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I believe in a woman covering up her nakedness. I noticed the dresses are getting longer now. They're almost down to the ankle. The style is coming in now. Like somebody said something to a woman the other day. Said, ain't them old dresses hot? You know, some folks are ignorant. The Bible said if they're ignorant, let them be ignorant. Paul said, we'll not have you to be ignorant. My pants is down to my ankles. And my old pants ain't hot like that. And men do that all the time. Are you listening? A woman will run around half naked and the husband doesn't want her to change it because he'll feel embarrassed. Come on, folks. How mixed up, rotten can a world get? All flesh is corrupt this way before God. When it looks nice up here tonight, if I took the scissors and I just zip mine off, you know, and I say, now this is the style. I don't see nothing wrong with it. The women, they do it. Why come I can't do it? Somebody else said, I'm getting out of here. Somebody said, well, I don't think it's so bad. Well, we have it down on the beach. I know some of them where the preacher, he just goes in his bathing suit, and all of them goes in their bathing suit, and all of them wallowing the slop together. Can you say amen? Pigs wallowing the slop. I said, they all go down there because they wallow in the slop together. Jesus called them swine. I think he ought to know what he made, don't you? Like when he said, go tell that fox. He spoke of Herod over there, said, go tell that fox. Somebody said, well, he wasn't a fox. I said again, I think he knowed what he made. He made him. If he called him a fox, it must have been what he was. You love the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. Good. That makes me know that you're still out there with me. All right. This might be a little strong, folks, but I'm telling you the truth. Somebody said, Brother Pike, tell it like it is. If that ain't the way it is, then you tell me how it is. That's the way it is. I've got the experience. I travel all over the world. I know it's like that. I mean, everywhere that we go. Folks, I can understand. I know that a lot of us have not been taught the truth. A lot of us have not been educated in the truth. We've not had the truth. We haven't understood the truth. And we're caught in these things. And God is merciful. And God knows this. And Brother Pike knows it too. But it's still my job to preach the gospel. The coming of the Lord is at hand. You come here to know how to escape the judgments of God. And the judgments of God are at hand. The things are at hand. It's time for the coming of the Lord. We all know that. So then, we need to do something about it. Now, I could just go on and go on and go on because I tell you what, it looks like there's no end to my supplies. It looks like I've got an artesian well. I could just go on and go on. The more I preach, the better I like it. The more I preach. And I don't seem to get tired. That's the amazing thing about it. You know, the more I go, the better I feel. And the more I feel like calling and screaming out the name of Jesus Christ and telling you about the things of God. I want you to stand with me. Remember, the whole earth is filled with violence. The whole earth, all flesh, has corrupted its way before God. The priest, the preacher, the judge, the policeman, the wife, the husband. Oh, folks, tonight, if somebody with discernment would begin to show what kind of condition your wife is in. Come on now. And what kind of condition your husband is in. Some of you would be tore to pieces. I'm telling you the truth. I've sat in the midst of people that were supposed to be fine church-going folks. And I picked up this woman's spirit playing with this man's spirit over here. And I picked up this man's spirit playing with this spirit over here. I've done it. I picked them up. I picked them up in the audience. And people don't like it either. See, they don't like it. Jesus said, if you look on a woman to lust after, you've committed adultery already with her in your heart. He said it would be a sinful, it would be an adulterous generation. They would dress in such a way to make the man lust after him. And he would dress in such a way to make her lust after him. This is a corrupt generation. This generation is a generation of sodomites. I mean, they've corrupted their way in Atlanta, Georgia. I believe it's been in the last two or three days that they are screening homosexuals. They're screening them to put them on the police force. I'm talking about the police force, folks. I'm talking about them that rule over you, them that govern you, them that are in control of you. What are we doing about it? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I'm in agreement with you. And I don't like it, but it just ain't nothing we can do about it. Whoever told you that? Whoever told you that there's nothing we can't do about it? I'll tell you what, there's some of you tonight, if somebody come over to your house and they walked into your door drunk and they started hugging and kissing on your wife and they started trying to defile your little daughter, it wouldn't take you but about the flip of your finger and you'd find out what you could do about it. Come on, folks. You'd show them the door. And it wouldn't take you but a few minutes to show them the door. If somebody walked out here tonight and grabbed one of these little children here, a helpless little child in here, there's not too many men standing here but what they wouldn't be on his case that fast if he started injuring that child. Who told you couldn't do anything about it? You can do what you want to do. Have you never read in the Bible? In the Bible it said the saints of God shall rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. He wasn't talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within you. The Bible said, and the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. You know what we need to do? We need to get together, folks. That's where the problem is. When we get together, everything will be all right. When the Baptists get away from being Baptists and the Methodists get away from being Methodists and the Assembly of God gets away from being Assembly of God and Church of God gets away from being the Church of God, all of them get together and decide that they're either children of God or bastard children. Then we'll all get together and we'll find out who's Christians and who's not Christians. In the Bible, they were called Christians at Antioch. You don't need but one title, and that's Christian. Now, it's all right to have a name over the church door, and sometimes that's the name that you live when you're dead, and some of you twice dead and plucked up by the roots. It's all right to have an organization and name it an organization. But when it comes right down to your individuality, it's either that you are a child of God, you are a Christian, or you're on your way to hell. And listen now, don't get upset at me. Just because you say that you are a believer, I mentioned this last night, just because you say that you are a believer does not mean that you are a Christian. The Bible said if you believe there's one God, you do well. The devil himself believes and trembles. So then to believe, that means that you're no better than the devil. Somebody say amen. I said just to say that you believe, that means you're no better than the devil. He believes too. The Baptists believe, the Catholics believe, the Methodists believe. All of them believe. But that's not where Christianity comes in. We're not saved by believing. We're saved by faith. And faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. And the devil don't have faith. And the Bible said in the last days some will depart from the Word of God. That is, they'll depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Did you know that anything that's not on the Word of God is a doctrine of the devil? No matter how much you believe in it. Somebody say praise the Lord. So then, mere believing doesn't do it, folks. The Bible said, if you have not my spirit, you're none of mine. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why is it Christ in you, the hope of glory? Because the Bible said Christ alone is made heir to the glory of God. And if you don't have Him on the inside of you, you don't have any hope of that glory. Even the glory that He experienced as He stood on the Mount of Transfiguration when He appeared with Moses and Elijah there in glory. Do you have Christ tonight? Do you have His Spirit tonight? Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, some of them have the Spirit now, they go to heaven. And then the others, they believe and they go to heaven. And the others over here is handmaids and the others over here, children of the bride chamber. I know all of that. I talk about all that. I preach all that. But I'm still telling you the only way you go to heaven is to have Christ on the inside of you. If you don't have Christ's Spirit, you're none of His. The Bible said so and the Scriptures can't be broke, folks. So then tonight, do you have Christ? All right. It's good to be here. I appreciate my listening audience. I appreciate the good spirit you showed last night. I appreciate the good spirit you showed tonight. But I want you to know that the earth is filled with violence and all flesh has corrupted its way before God. And it's time that we did something about it. It's time that we did something about it. We're going to sing a little chorus together here if I can get somebody to help me. John, get a hold of a mic over there, son, and help me. We're going to sing this little chorus tonight. Might seem a little odd to sing it right at this point with a move like it is, but we're going to sing it anyway. Where's our piano player? Praise what happened Lord. To our piano player? All right.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
We're going to sing the song.
Glory be unto God.
Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. I wonder how many people really know who Jesus is. I wonder tonight if we happen to go through Memphis and check things out. I wonder how many people would really know who Jesus is. Like a little thing I heard one time about a mission field. This man was going down through the mission field, and he stopped in a village, and he said to the man, he said, do you know Jesus? He said, no, don't know him. He said, but I tell you what. He said, it could be that he might live over in the next village if you'll go over there. That's how unknown Jesus was in that area. That's why Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
And that's what we need to do. Go into all the world
and preach the gospel to every creature. So tonight, while we sing this little song together, I want you to sing with me. Will you do that?
Everybody ought to know.
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 Everybody ought to know
who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley. And he's your bright and morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah?
Everybody
ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell.
Hallelujah.
Everybody ought to tell.
Everybody ought to tell
who Jesus is.
Who Jesus is.
For he is the lily of your valley. And he's your bright and morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody. Sing it one more time. Can you sing it with me, folks? Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know
who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley, and he's my bright and morning star, and he is the fairest of 10,000.
Everybody ought to know.
Just one more time. Everybody ought to tell.
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 Everybody ought to tell
who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley. And he's your bright and morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000.
Everybody ought to know.
Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's give the Lord a hand, can we? While we sing another little chorus together, we're going to give you a chance to come up to the altar tonight. Together and around the altar. This little song is called "There's Room at the Cross for You." There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for me. There's room. I thank God tonight there's room. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Want to come on up? Oh, there's room, come on, folks,
cross
for you. Come on, folks. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross. Come on, folks. Let's everybody just come on. Come on up here, will you? The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Glory to God. Come on up. It doesn't matter. Just come on up and worship with us tonight. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Although many have come,
There is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you.
Sing it one more time. Sing it with me, folks.
Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross.
Somebody say, I love Jesus. Can you say, I love Jesus? Lift your hand up tonight and love the Lord. Can you do that tonight? Can you really genuinely praise God? Praise God from your heart tonight. Folks, lift up your hands and praise the Lord tonight. Can you do that? While they're singing, while they're playing, let's blend in with it. Let's love the Lord. Let's tell Jesus we love Him tonight. If you don't have a vision tonight, folks, get your vision tonight. If you don't have a vision tonight, get your vision tonight.
Oh, that room.
The Bible said without a vision, the people perish. You know what's happening to the church folks today? They've lost their vision. They've lost their vision for Christ. They've got a vision for making money. A vision for buying land. A vision for buying a home. A vision for retirement. A vision for some kind of job. For some kind of position. But they've lost their vision for God. And the preacher doesn't tell them to do anything about it. You know why? Because as long as they're following worldly things, the pocketbook gets bigger. He gets more money. The more interested in the world they are, the less he has to live right. The less they'll know when he's not living right. The more that he can pad the pocketbook. But I'm telling you tonight, come on out of Egypt. Come on out of Egypt. Bring your folks out of Egypt. Bring your families out of Egypt. Come on out of Egypt, folks. Let's get a vision for God. My God, look what you're giving up. It's so wonderful. Eternity's just over the hill. Heaven's just over the hill from you. Great and mighty things are waiting for you. God is doing things. Mighty things are moving for you. It's all yours, your sons and daughters of God. Let Esau have his land. Let Esau have his land. You're Jacob tonight. Let Esau have his land tonight. Come on. This is your inheritance. This is your inheritance. God's got an inheritance for you. This is your inheritance. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. I claim Jesus first of all. He will answer when I call. For I know I am a child, the son set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. Sing it with me again. I claim Jesus first of all. He will answer when I call. For I know I am a child, the son set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. You love Him tonight? Do you really love Him tonight?
Hallelujah.
I want you to lift your hands up with me tonight if you love Him. Tell Jesus that you love Him. Let's take a few minutes and make love to God tonight. The Bible said that God inhabits the praise of His people. God is a spirit. So let's praise God tonight and give Him a dwelling place. He dwells within your temple. Be spiritual tonight, Paul.
tells us to be spiritual. I tell you to be spiritual. Let's be spiritual tonight. And let's love Him tonight. Can you do that? Can you do that tonight? Can you love Him tonight? Can you love Jesus tonight? Come on, folks, lift your hands up. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Cry out to the Lord tonight. Tell Him you love Him tonight. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand, can you? Let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord tonight. Let's sing this together. Let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve a living God for today. And if the rain falls or if the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. Sing them again. So let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God for today. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy. Hallelujah! Oh, let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve a living God for today. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, can you sing that again with me? I'd like for you to sing that tonight if you really mean it. Oh, let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve a living God for today. The rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. Lift your hands up. Let's praise the Lord tonight. Let's praise the Lord tonight. Do you love the Lord tonight? Do you care for God tonight? Do you want to serve Jesus tonight? Glory to God. Somebody praise the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and say glory. Let's worship the Lord tonight. Let's give glory unto the name of the Lord tonight. God will break the yoke tonight. God will heal your sick bodies tonight. God will make you well tonight. God's going to heal through these meetings. God's going to save through these meetings. Amen. I feel the yoke being broke already. I feel freedom. The Bible said wherever the Spirit is, God's liberty. It's there, and I feel that liberty tonight. Glory to God. Lift your hands up and love the Lord tonight. Let's give God another hand, can you? The Bible said clap your hands, all you people. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lift your hands up with me again, can you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands up and close your eyes.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Praise God. I want to pray for you tonight. We're going to try to individually minister to you and minister to the sick from night to night. But tonight I want to pray for you like I did last night. I just want you to lift your hands up. I feel faith tonight. I feel faith tonight.
Hallelujah.
This young brother here that's at the altar tonight, he came down today. He said something at the minister's conference. And he said, for numbers of days now I've searched and I've looked for something. And he said that this morning there at the conference, that it looked like it was doing something for him. He acted as though God was doing something for him.
Hallelujah.
There. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I can feel that hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah again?
Hallelujah.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise the Lord.
Lift up
your hands and praise God. Hallelujah. I get a little bit stirred up here, and this mic, it knocks off. It just takes so much, you know, and it quits off. Hallelujah. Lift your hands up and close your eyes. Glory to God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody say hallelujah if you feel the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. I see that brother out there with Brother Herman. I thought that's who I thought it was. Praise God. I'm glad to see him here with us tonight.
He's been fighting the battle for a long time, but the devil ain't got him down yet. Somebody, let's give the Lord another hand.
Praise.
Hallelujah! Praise God. Lift your hands up and close your eyes one more time with me, will you?
Hallelujah. Praise God.
While they're playing something on the musical instruments here, I want you to meditate for just a few minutes. Can you? The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. Now, not believers only, but in the faith. Faith by the hearing of the Word of God. Examine yourselves tonight. Folks, God's getting you ready to take you home. Did you know that? He's getting you ready now to take you home. Everything is close at hand. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel God. I feel God. I just feel God all over me. Hallelujah. You just feel God on you. I feel God on me. I feel God all over me. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Can you say amen? And the people said amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Lift your hands up and close your eyes. We're going to get around to it in a few minutes. Hallelujah. While I feel faith here tonight, I want to pray for you. Now I want to pray God to do something for you. And I already feel the yoke broken. I do. I feel the liberty of the Spirit here tonight. Don't you feel it, John? I feel the liberty of God here tonight. And we're going to pray for you now. Remember, the Bible said if the man of God, if he's a true man of God, if he blesses you, you're blessed. And the Bible said if he curses you, you're cursed. Come on, folks. And if you'll have faith tonight when we pray, God will bless you tonight because I sure don't want to curse you. I come here to bless you. I don't want to be like Balaam. So I want you to lift your hands up tonight. I want to pray a blessing on you tonight. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Lift your hands up with me tonight. Can you do that? Hallelujah. While I pray for you tonight, I want you to get a blessing, folks. Father God of heaven, as I pray here tonight, Lord, as I stand before this congregation tonight, I feel your presence, God. And I want you to reach out over this audience tonight. And dear God, I want you to break the yoke. I felt you break the yoke. I want faith to move in the hearts of these people, Heavenly Father. And I want healing, real, genuine healing for these people. God, I want these people healed tonight. I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, to heal these people. Jesus, you said that whatever we say, if we say it and believe it, not doubt, you'd do it. And I say tonight that you're healing these people. I say tonight that you're healing these people, Heavenly Father. And God, I ask you to forgive their sins tonight. And heal these people in the name of Jesus tonight. God, stretch out your hand and heal tonight. I want you to heal them tonight. May the power of God go into their hearts. May the power of God go into their lives. May the yokes be broken. All of those oppressing spirits, oh God. Them that have financial difficulty tonight. Them that have financial problems. God, you're going to do something about it, Father. I say it in your name tonight. There's some people tonight that need your help, Father. In their financial stride in life. They're trying to do their best, Heavenly Father. And you, by your grace and by your love, you're going to meet their needs. And dear God, these that want to go out in the ministry, Father, you're going to help them get out into the ministry. You're going to do something for them. You're going to work a miracle for them, God. And you're going to do something for them. I can feel a miracle coming right now. God, I feel it within my soul tonight. I feel this faith going up to you, God. Lord, and you can't deny faith. Oh, God, you're going to work a miracle for these ministers. Dear God, you're going to work a miracle for these little folks that's standing here right before the altar. God, that needs a touch, even the little ones of today, Father. Lord, you said some of the children to come unto you. Oh, God, tonight I want you to bless them. I want you to heal them. I want you to forgive these people tonight of their sins. And I want their bodies healed tonight. I want their bodies healed tonight. I want salvation in their souls tonight. Folks, it's been yearning for the Holy Ghost. Dear God, as I talk to them as Peter did, I feel the Holy Ghost falling on them, God. Even as Peter felt it fall on the people back there. And as I feel the Holy Ghost falling on me, and I feel the Holy Ghost falling on them, dear God, fill them with the Holy Ghost tonight. Hallelujah, receive you the Holy Ghost tonight. You can receive it tonight. If you want the Holy Ghost tonight, lift up your hands. You can receive the Holy Ghost tonight. Receive ye the Holy Ghost tonight. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord. Can you praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing a little chorus, John. I want you to lift your hands back up. We're going to let you go in just a few minutes, but lift your hands Hallelujah. Back up. Let's praise the Lord tonight.
Hallelujah.
Can you praise the Lord? Let's don't give the devil a chance to even slip in.
Glory tonight. Be unto God.
Okay? Hallelujah. Let's lift your hands up and praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now then, by now, there ought to be a real genuine praise in your heart. Oh, let us praise Him.
Oh, praise Him.
Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at the noon. Sing it with us, folks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Him with us.
Praise Him when the sun.